Today, our study comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, where we will look at four features that Peter relates to being called a blessing. But first, let's be encouraged by this special musical presentation called Isn't He? By Our Ladies Quartet. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, and there I'd like to read from the third chapter, verses 8 through 12. Once again, we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, as we focus our thoughts today on being called to blessing. One of the things that marks our contemporary culture, and of course, this is nothing new, but it seems to have become very pronounced in our society today, and that is how we have created this perception of life that revolves around the individual. In other words, we tend to set ourselves to be the center of the universe, that everything revolves around us. Everything seems to exist for our own benefit. And often this is the way that we view and treat other individuals. We use them for selfish gain or for selfish pleasure. And once we come to the point that we think that they are no longer beneficial to us, we just toss them aside. Or the common expression is, we throw them under the bus. But however, for those who are Christians, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation, are to live an entirely different kind of life. Instead of self being at the center, It is to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our life is to revolve around him. Our desires, our thoughts, our actions, whatever comes out of our mouth, are to revolve around Christ and the teachings found in his word. And to the degree that we are able to do that will be the degree that we are actually a blessing to other people. And this is one of the things that Peter emphasizes here in this passage. For example, beginning with verse 8, he writes, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but, on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now the central thought here is on being called to blessing. And so we're going to make that the premise of our study as we look at four features that Peter relates to being called to blessing. First of all, there is exemplifying the qualities that promote blessing. Secondly, rejecting the qualities that obstruct blessing. Thirdly, embracing the call to blessing. And then finally, understanding the goal of blessing. Now, before we begin to look at our first major point, I want us to have some basic understanding of what it means to be a blessing. The term that is used here is the Greek word eulogeo, and it comes from two different words. There is the prefix eu, which means good or well, and logeo, which means to speak. So quite literally, it means to speak well of. Now this idea of blessing is used in different ways in Scripture. First of all, it is related to God. That is, whenever God speaks, when he blesses in this sense, he provides for us that which is needed. The emphasis is not providing for our desires, but for our needs. It is the recognition that there is something lacking in our life, and he is there to provide that which is necessary for a growing relationship with him. Now, one writer, when speaking of this term, indicates that God speaking is in essence his action. That is, they are the same thing. And this is based upon the premise that is found in the creation account, which is found in Genesis, when this opening narrative teaches us that God spoke, and as a result, certain phenomenal things took place. The basic fundamentals of creation. God said, "Let there be light." And the result was light. So in the same way, when God speaks his blessing to us, it also takes into account, by necessity, his action towards us. Now, the scriptures also teach that we can bless God. Now, not in the same sense in which he blesses us. When we speak well of God, that's usually translated into the idea of praise and adoration or the worship of God. We speak well of him, we praise him, because he alone is worthy. We cannot give to God anything to meet some supposed need that God may have, because God does not have any need like that. He is absolutely perfect in every way. There is nothing that we could add to God to make him better in any sense. So our blessing of God is a response to how glorious, how powerful, how awesome God is. We recognize that, and in response, we give words of praise and adoration, or in a word, we bless Him. Now, this word blessing is also used in the sense of consecration. When we bless a particular thing, we sometimes are saying that we are setting this apart for the use of God. We are consecrating it to a sacred and holy use. Now, there's also a sense in which we bless others. We speak well of one another. In other words, we express good desires or good wishes for an individual. We want good for them. But, reflecting how God blesses us, when and where we can, when we see a need in a person's life, we are called upon to attempt to fulfill that need, either directly or indirectly, so that they can be blessed, so that they can receive some benefit. And this is one of the ideas associated with being a blessing, that is, through our actions, we want to be able to do good or to benefit someone in some way. Now, we're going to focus more upon this in just a moment, but it is to this that believers have been called. We have been called to blessing. Not so much here in terms of context to receive blessing, although there is, and we will touch upon that, but to be a blessing. So with that, let's turn to our first major point. And that is the first feature of being called to blessing is to exemplify the qualities that promote blessing. And this is found in verse 8. Notice what Peter says. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Now, these are characteristics, these are virtues that naturally promote blessing. Without these qualities, you can rest assured that there will be no, or at least very little, in the way of being a blessing to others. But the first thing that I want you to notice here is that Peter is addressing believers as a distinct group, that is, the church, the body of Christ. That's the primary consideration. Now, of course, secondary is to take what is said here on an individual basis. So Peter, in a sense, is both speaking to the church as a whole, but again, the church as a whole is made up of individual believers. So ultimately, what is true for the body must be true for us as individuals. So finally, all of you. The term finally means coming to a point, a goal that has been reached. And so he has come to this point for this specific objective of emphasizing being a blessing. So all of you. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, these words are directly for you. All of you be of one mind. That is, we are to be like-minded. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to agree on every single thing, but it does mean that there is to be an overarching purpose which binds us together in our actions to each other. There are certain things that all of us must be committed to that overrules everything else. Now, unfortunately, in today's society, we tend to forget these types of things and go to certain specifics that reflect our own agenda, our own desires, our own wants. And so we focus upon these things to the exclusion of larger and greater things in which we are to be united. Now, when it comes to this thing of being of one mind, or basically unity, an obvious observation that is to be made is that our world is cursed with disunity. And this is one of Satan's principal objectives, to sow disunity. And this is seen across the board. This is seen at the national level, politically speaking, with our political parties. This is even seen internationally, between nations. This is seen in the workforce. This is seen in the church, all the way down to individual families. Satan does whatever he can to break unity by focusing on the so-called rights or desires of the individual and encourages us to set that as the objective of our life. And so when that happens, you can rest assured there will be no unity. There is also having compassion for one another. It's the idea of being able to empathize, to feel for our fellow believers or those who are suffering in some way or facing some great challenge, that we take the moment to feel for them, to identify with them, and not to be cold or callous and just simply ignore them or pass them over because it might cost us something, either time or effort or perhaps even money, and we just push them aside. Compassion is not just simply feeling for one another, but going beyond that to try to be part of the solution if possible. Again, either directly or indirectly, to do what we can to alleviate suffering and try to promote bringing forth something that is needed. We are to love as brothers. That is, there is to be this bond that brings us and binds us together. Now, as Christian brethren, the reality is that sometimes we get angry at each other for a lot of reasons. Some of those reasons may be sinful. Some of those reasons may be righteous. But even in that anger, there is to be that strong love that keeps us together so that our relationships will not be broken. You've heard the old expression that blood is thicker than water. It's just simply reflective of the idea here that the brotherly relationship that we have is to be strong and is to stand strong against those things which would tear us apart. We are to be tender-hearted and we are to be courteous. We are to feel pity for each other and we are to be kind and gentle to each other. Now, there's a lot of possible things that we could say about these terms, these concepts, but you get the point. These are necessary for the promotion of being a blessing. So being called to blessing involves exemplifying the qualities that promote blessing. Secondly, there is the rejecting of those qualities that obstruct blessing. This is found in the first part of verse 9. In verse 9, Peter writes, "Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling." Evil here refers to wickedness, iniquity, evil, affliction, that which is malicious, that which is harmful or corrupting to others. Reviling refers to slander or to speech that is a reproach. Both of these things are not to be returned to those individuals that may do these things to us. Now, one of the most fundamental parts of life, as a general rule, is that when people are hurt, when people are attacked, when people are slandered, the natural response is to turn in kind. You do this to me, not only am I going to do this back to you, but I am going to make it even stronger than what you did. And so, very quickly, these types of things escalate. Again, we see this in all parts of life, from the political level all the way down to relationships between people. So when we are hurt, we want to lash out and hurt others. That's the natural thing to do. But as far as believers, we are not to do the natural thing. but we are to do the supernatural thing. And that is acting upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit in connection to the truth of God's Word. We are to act in a totally different way, because these things do not promote blessing. It's just the opposite. These things promote chaos. They promote hurt. They promote suffering. And so we are to get rid of these qualities. We are not to allow these types of mindsets to be a part of our thinking and way of living. So we are to reject those qualities that obstruct blessing, returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Now, the third point that Peter makes is that we are to embrace our calling to blessing. Notice again what Peter writes. But, on the contrary, blessing. Now notice this phrase begins with the term but, which introduces a principle of opposite. Peter says, but on the contrary, blessing. So in essence, instead of returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, through the power of the Spirit, and again, in connection to the truth of God's Word, we are to return blessing. We are to turn their evil, their reviling, with desiring something good for them. And this may be their salvation, if they're an unbeliever. It may be someone's spiritual growth, who is certainly not acting like a mature believer. It may be something physical, something tangible. But whatever it is to be a blessing. It is to be something good that would be beneficial to them to meet some need that they may have, a spiritual need, an emotional need, or a physical need. But instead of lashing out in anger and resentment, we are to return their hostilities with blessing. Now, I want you to notice that Peter adds, knowing that you were called to this. Now, the idea of knowing involves a very strong sense of persuasion or understanding that this is not how believers are to live, that is, returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But believers are to be very different and return blessing for these things, being persuaded that you were called to this. Now, the term called here, I think in an ultimate sense, incorporates our effectual calling to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, that is, our call to salvation. But the idea of calling also includes with it the invitation to participate in something. And so we are called not only to participate in the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ, but believers are called to participate in living the life of Christ. That is, living as Christ lived, the example that he set forth. And this is how Jesus lived his life. He was assaulted verbally and physically, but consistently he responded by way of blessing. And so we come to that realization that being a blessing is part of that for which God has purposed in our lives. It's not something that we can tack on to the end of the Christian life. It is not something that is optional. It is something that is to be a part of our very existence, a significant part of our life in Jesus Christ. So we are to embrace the call to be a blessing. Now, finally, we must understand the goal of blessing. And this is seen in the last part of verse 9, where Peter writes, that you may inherit a blessing. And there are two things I want to note here, and that is the stating of this goal, which we have just done, and the explanation of this goal, which follows in verses 10 through 12. So the goal stated, that you may inherit a blessing. Now, there are some things that God blesses us directly where there are no strings attached whatsoever. They are sovereignly, graciously, and unconditionally given. But on the other hand, there are blessings which are conditioned, which result or which flow from the nature of our response of attempting to live for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so here, it's not that we just simply do what Peter has said just so that we can get a blessing, but rather it is that the blessing spoken of here is a natural consequence of being a blessing.